Hasn't the rain been amazing? You know, we cried out and we asked God for rain, and he answered abundantly more than what we asked for. Now, in the same turn that we celebrate, we know that we're very fortunate in Kyle. His brothers and sisters of ours all over Texas are waking up to flooded homes this morning and water that they don't know what to do with. And certainly brings back memories that are far too close with the Memorial Day floods here. So I just want us to bow and ask God to be with people all over Texas today. Let's lift this up before the Lord. Father, we do lift up our brothers and sisters that have not been as fortunate as we have been with the rain that we've received, Lord, but their homes have been flooded and their lives have been turned upside down this morning. So we just ask, especially for them, Lord, no matter what part of Texas they're in, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Father, that Lord, that they would use this morning to embrace you instead of to push away from you. God, in this time of trouble, may they call on your name and find you, Lord, ready to walk with them. God, even our neighbors here in Bastrop, as they put back together pieces from the ashes, Lord, may they call on your name, Jesus, and may you be a testimony to other people of how great a God you are for being with them in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I'm amazed at these natural disasters, and even the one several weeks ago that hit the East Coast in that thousand-year flood, and how in one swoop they radically rearrange everybody's life, right? Things that we think are stable are no longer stable in a natural disaster. We think, oh, our home is so solid, it's been here for 50 years. It didn't tell the flood that, right? It doesn't matter. It didn't tell the fire that. And it breaks my heart to see some of these things that we think are so stable suddenly become unstable. We know the only sure thing in this life is Jesus Christ and his salvation for us. Now, in the same way that these natural disasters can disrupt life, what we've been learning from the book of Romans is that sin wrecks our lives exactly the same way. Now, some of us don't realize it because since birth, we have had sin wrecking our lives. But we know that something is always just not quite right, right? How come I always have this angst in my relationships? How come I always feel this certain way? It doesn't seem like all of the dots go together. It's because sin has utterly wrecked our lives. So we pick up in the book of Romans, and chapter 5, started in verse 1. We find such a great word to start it off. Paul says this. Well, he says, woohoo, we made it to chapter 5. All right. There's 50 chapters in the book of Romans. No. He says, therefore. So what is he invoking there with therefore? He's calling back everything from chapters 1 through 4 that we've been studying the last half of this year, right? Therefore. So we remember in chapter 4 that we have righteousness by faith. So we are made right by God when we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for our sins. We believe that he rose from the dead to give us life. And Paul is talking in all of that, in Jesus conquering sin. He's talking about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, so since we have been forgiven and accepted by faith, by trust and belief in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Isn't that beautiful? Father, we just pray for wisdom to understand these verses, that your spirit would illuminate to us what you revealed to Paul so many years ago. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what do I know about relationship? Not much, except that it takes two people in a relationship, right? Remember the, DJ Easy Rock, right? It takes two to make a thing go right? Yeah. Unfortunately, you remember it, right? Exactly. A very, very smart statement, right? It takes two in relationship. Now, God has fulfilled and done his responsibility. We also have responsibility in the relationship to embrace the things that God is offering, that God is giving us, and to live in his will. And so what we want to do today, I want us to look at three different things from these two verses. And I want to look at what God's responsibility was, and I want to look at what our responsibility is in that aspect of the relationship. So he says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith. So here's the first thing. The result of the cross is this. We have been justified by faith. Boy, we've been talking about this for a few weeks, right? This is God's role in the relationship. Now, his role is guaranteed. Right, Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. His role is guaranteed. Justification is put out there for us in the cross. The cross is it. Now, some of us in this life, we go around wondering, does God love me? Some of you, you spend every week worrying about, does God love me? And some of you, you mess up, right? And you sin, and you wonder, okay, what am I going to have to do to make up for this for God? All of that reasoning is completely ridiculous in the book of Romans. God loves you. You can guarantee it. You can count on it. We have the cross. We have the resurrection as testimony to his great, incredible love for us that we have been justified by faith. When we believe in God, when we trust in him, we are forgiven and accepted. That's been his role. Now, we've talked about that for several weeks, but here's the new part. Here's the byproduct of our justification. He says this, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The byproduct of our justification is peace with God. I love when you see how this word for peace is used throughout the Bible, because it's used for reconciliation, for relationships that are broken being made whole, and it's used for divine favor resting on somebody. That's a beautiful thought to me. It's the peace of God that just wants to just rest on you. I don't know if you were like me yesterday, but you have a whole list of plans that you need to do on Saturday, and then you realize, oh, it's raining, I can't do that. Oh, street's closed, I can't do that. I can stay in my pajamas and watch the UT game under a blanket, right? It's a great day yesterday morning. That was pretty exciting. And so, man, it was just so cool. You know, man, you're still in your pajamas. You got this blanket. There's kind of a cool draft in the air finally, you know, going through Texas. And it's just awesome, right? Ooh, the draft is a little cooler. That's okay, because the blanket can be that much more snug. And I just think of that image when it talks about the peace of God, because it's his divine favor that's resting on us, just like that blanket just rests on us. And I love this thought of just going out. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you go to work and you have problem in your job, right? That peace of God just wants to rest on you and can rest on you in Jesus Christ. And oh, this is a particularly difficult problem, but that's just like a cool breeze blowing, and it just makes the blanket that much more sweet. Right? Oh, this problem is really bad, but it just goes to show the glory of the peace of God that's resting upon me. You are supposed to be with God. It's what you were created to do. And that's what this relationship is all about. I got these two magnets off of my refrigerator this morning, and I do wish that they were a little stronger. They actually magnetize to each other backwards here, where instead of this way. And, you know, I spent so many hours as a child trying to put magnets together that were pushing away. You know, this time I'm going to be able to do it. I'm really going to be able to do it this time and get them together. And as soon as I release my hands, right, they bounce off. They were created to go this way. Some of us in our lives, we have such a sin problem, and we just keep trying to force this relationship with God together without really dealing with our sin. That's why we're reminded of the price of the cross and the price of our sin and the relationship with God in this Lord's Supper. So we can get rid of our sin so we can embrace God. And what he's talking about with this peace with God is this reconciliation. It's just like this magnet of, oh, it's not working, it's not working. And suddenly it's flipped around. It works. This is what it was created to do, right? When we have that peace of God that rests upon us, suddenly I know my purpose. I understand what I was created for in this relationship with God. It all makes sense. That's what the peace of God does as it rests upon us. It's something that's not just known in our minds. It's something that's felt too, isn't it? You want to see Jonathan become a mess, then let me watch any military homecoming reunion. Man, it gets me every single time. And even if I'm walking through an airport and I see military guys in the airport, I start tearing up like they're about to see their wives, you know, and hug them and kiss them. And I really hate how now, like on football games or basketball games, they'll surprise their family because I just want to watch a sports game. And then suddenly I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Because they've been separated for like a year, 6 months, 18 months, and then suddenly they see each other and there's this huge embrace and the bags fall and tears are flowing and it's just so right for a moment, isn't it? It's the same idea as this peace of God. Man, we've thrown off everything, that separation that entangled us, and we've embraced in this relationship with God and it fits and it's perfect. What an opportunity we have to have the peace of God. Now, some of us have tasted it and we've lost it. Why? It's the same dumb reason that separated us in the first place, right? It's sin. That we've allowed sin to creep back in and interfere with that peace of God that is amazing. How can we continually dwell in peace? It's only through Jesus Christ. It's only in Christ. That's a secret right here. The continual access of peace is Christ. Guys, this is not elementary teaching. This is foundational teaching. To wake up every morning with Christ, thanking him, praising him for the cross. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul is writing and he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Rejoice. Let's try it again. Really? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul has offered us here a blueprint for peace in this daily Christian walk. Can you imagine it, when we wake up in the morning, if instead of being frustrated about what we're going to have to do that day, if instead of being upset about what happened the previous night, if we woke up rejoicing that Jesus Christ was Lord. I mean, jumping onto our knees out of bed. God, thank you that your salvation that was given me at Calvary is given to me today. God, thank you that you are still Lord today like you were 2,000 years ago. God, thank you that you have granted me peace. I mean, can you imagine how awesome it would be to wake up and just thrust that blanket of the presence of God around us every single morning? And then one by one, we just start taking those frustrations, right? Those requests, that thing from last night. God, here's this thing. I just want to give it to you. Here's what I'm facing today. I just give that to you. Thank you, Jonathan. Here's my peace. You take this and you be at rest today when you go about your business. Peace is given. We have to embrace it in Jesus Christ. Listen, church. When you're not experiencing peace and you're calling on the name of Jesus Christ, it's not the Lord's fault that you're not experiencing peace. He has done what he can do to offer you peace. You confess sin. You rejoice in the Lord. Embrace the cross of Jesus and find peace. Here's the second thing. So in verse 1, it says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 2, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So here's the result of the cross. It's access to grace by faith. Access to grace by faith. We see this throughout Scripture. We see in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that we have been saved by grace through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast, right? So we have access to the gift of God in Jesus Christ. Now, do you remember what it was like when you were children on Christmas Day? We went to Christmas at my grandparents. They had a two-story house, and we weren't allowed to go. I think it was the ninth step. We weren't allowed to go beyond the ninth step where we could see into the living room. We knew if we passed the ninth step, we would get a spanking. But the grandkids, we would wake up at like 5 a.m., and we're sitting on that ninth step, you know, tempted to look around and see what was there and waiting for these lazy adults, you know, to wake up and get down the stairs, you know, and threatening who's going to be the one to go wake up mom and dad. And you're teased with this gift that's wrapped up under that tree for so many weeks, and you don't have access to it. And so many of us as Christians, that's the way that our relationship with God works. Where we feel like God is wrapped up and he's this nice, shiny gift, but we don't have personal access to him. And we see other people enjoying the gift, and we see evidence of God's presence in other people's lives, but it's like, okay, I just know about it. That is not the case in Jesus Christ. Through the cross, we have access to this gift of God, this grace of God that pours over us. The very presence of God. Do you enjoy that on a day-to-day basis? You see, here's the byproduct of our access to that grace. It's our ability to stand. He says in verse 2, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Because of God's grace, we can stand. I'm amazed at looking at these natural disasters and the destruction that they cause. I remember at the Memorial Day floods being at Keith and Janet Knox's home, and their car was moved in this direction, several houses down the road. But their neighbor's cars in this direction were moved beyond their house in the other direction. It was like this huge whirlpool action going. Now, I can't even imagine the strength that it would take for me to pick up a car. I know that there's people that are strong enough to do it. I can't even imagine. But some of these cars were in trees. I mean, some of the trees that had been alongside the Blanco River had been there for 200 years. What happened to that tree? It was just tossed like a toothpick way over here into this field. No, the flood showed no mercy on anything. I remember the family, the Dizernoskis, that came over here after the Bastrop fire, and hearing their explanation of it, they said, Jonathan, even our washer and our dryer were burned to the ground. That's metal. I can't imagine what does it take that your washer and dryer are now in ashes. What type of heat does it take to do that? I remember when Man Shack Baptist burned over here a few years ago, those beams that you can't move, right, that are so enormous and so massive, were twisted around by the heat. I mean, what type of heat causes that? Is the reality of looking at these natural disasters and understanding that sin has wrecked our lives, church, is that we are powerless to stand in this world in the presence of sin. We're powerless. You are going to be knocked on your rear end every single time in your own power when you try to stand up. We can't do it. We're sinners. We fall. Oh, but thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us the ability to stand. We just say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 14. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. He says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. With confidence to stand up as if we're in the throne room of God, knowing that His grace has covered all of our sin. Knowing that sin is powerless when the blood of Jesus is covering over me. Now, some of you have tasted this grace. You've tasted the ability to stand with Christ and you've fallen. Why did you fall? Right, it's the same stupid reason that we were separated in the first place. It's sin. We allowed sin to become a greater priority than the presence of God, than the power of God at work in us in Christ Jesus. The continual ability for us to stand is only in one person. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in the cross. This isn't elementary school teaching. This is the foundation. Here's a third thing that I want us to see this morning. It's found in verse 2. He says this, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So along with grace, what is the result of the cross? What did God do? He allowed us to access the presence of God by faith. I want to tell you this, where grace is, God is. Where grace is at work in your life, the presence of God is at work in your life. And presence changes something, doesn't it? I mean, what would you do if you encountered the living presence of God? We have that ability in Christ Jesus. What would we do? I love how the psalmist writes this. This is Psalm 16 in verse 11. I'm going to read 9 through 11, Psalm 16, 9 through 11. He says this, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. Not only peace, but a joy that bubbles up from our heart. Man, presence changes everything. What would you do in the presence of God? Abraham rushed to his tent to prepare food and prepare an opportunity to please the Lord. Jacob, when he encountered the Lord by Peniel, he grabbed a hold of him and wrestled him and wouldn't let go. Right? Moses, he took off his sandals and he cast them down because the place where he was standing was holy ground. Isaiah confessed to the Lord, I've got unclean lips, cleanse me. What would you do? You know, I was fascinated by Pope Francis's visit to the Eastern Coast a few weeks ago. Now, our extended family is very devout Catholic, and so we had an opportunity a little while ago to visit with them at a funeral, unfortunately, and they were all talking about Pope Francis's visit, and a few of them followed him from Washington, D.C. up to New York and had picture journeys to show all about it. And even were saying that at this point, he looked at me like everybody noticed that he looked at me, and it was just amazing. And they were just so giddy about it. He's a man, right? I don't care if you love him or if you hate him. If Obama came here this morning, it would change something, wouldn't it? He's still the president. You should still pray for him, by the way. Presence changes something. What if God Almighty was with us? Church, the reality is that he is with us through Jesus Christ every day. He is walking with us. If the presence of God Almighty was with me, it's going to change what I'm going to feast my eyes upon during that day. If his presence is with me, it's going to change the way that I talk with people throughout my day. If his presence is with me, it's going to change what is a priority in my day. Oh, that we would have eyes and ears to understand this day after day after day. Now, the byproduct of this access to God's presence is the hope of God's glory. I love how Paul writes about the hope of God's glory in Colossians 1:27. He says this, that to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we walk with the presence of God, we find this hope. Guys, I don't care what you're going through. If it's a divorce, if it's about to be a divorce, if it's trouble at your work, if it's trouble making the payments at the end of the month with your bills, there is hope for you in Jesus Christ. Your life is not hopeless. He is the hope of glory, and that's reminded and renewed in our hearts in his presence. What is a continual access of hope? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. I want us to put together a few of these things in one paragraph. I want to turn to Titus chapter 2. We told you in the book of Romans that we would be in every book of the Bible. It's always fun to get into the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2 in verse 11, Paul writes this, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." What a description of our salvation, of our peace, and of our joy in Jesus. You know, several weeks ago on the East Coast, on Sunday morning, there was an older lady driving to her church service, and I guess she hadn't been watching the news to see that it was a 1,000-year flood that she was in the midst of. And because of the darkness, she didn't see quite how high the water was on the road as she traveled to her church. And so sure enough, her car stalled. It was in the midst of her engine and starting to seep in the sides of her car. But what she didn't realize was that it was still raining so hard that the waters were rising inches by the minute. And before too long of being in her car was lifted up by the floodwaters and debris was hitting it. And she went down what used to be a river right there, a huge place, and got stuck against a place in this field, against a tree, I believe it was. And she had the wherewithal when all of that was going on to get out her phone, and she called her grandson, who must have been some amazing athlete, because he went out there to her rescue and worked out a way that he got to her car and was able to get her out of her car. But the water was rising still so fast while he was doing that, that they were both swept away by the floodwaters. And when they thought that there was no hope, they both had broken bones in the midst of this. They thought there was no hope. They were swept by this old country church that had a large red cross in front of the church. And both of them grabbed hold of the cross, put their arms around it, their hands around it, and held to it in the cold rain, floodwaters, debris hitting them for over 5 hours. They held to it. Broken ribs. I think one of them had a leg bone that was broken. Just by debris passing by, they held to that cross. And then people came and rescued them. They were rescued. I just love that imagery of clinging to the cross for all of your life. And of course, she's rescued and she's getting into the ambulance. And I don't know this lady's name, but I love her. because they shove a microphone into her face, you know, of tell us what luck this was and how amazing this was and that you were able to survive and do this. And this was what she said. And then she got into the ambulance. She said, don't make this story about me. This story is about Jesus. He is my Savior. This story is about what he did to save me. And then she gets on the in the ambulance. Isn't that awesome? I wonder, do we cling to the cross in that desperation every single day? Father, how we love you. And we rejoice over imagery that you afford us in our technology to hear about some lady on the East Coast and her faith and hope in Jesus Christ. God, I know that we're not clinging to the cross to protect us from floodwaters. But Father, we cling to the cross to protect us from the raging sin that is around us in this world and in our lives. Father, we know that by the power of the cross, you have crushed the powers of sin in our life. Lord, don't allow us to return to it. Father, allow us to embrace your peace and your joy and your hope and live in those day after day after day. How we celebrate the cross and your resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.